Dave Damaschek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Damaschek.
Hi and hello, football fans. Welcome to the Dave Damaschek Football Program presented by Head & Shoulders. Appropriate.
No question.
Because we are, in fact, Head & Shoulders above the rest. Figuratively, at least. Literally, I don't know. That's not a short joke, but it kind of is. No, it's not
because we're on a magic carpet.
Yes, that's right.
So
yes,
we're sitting
down as we speak here for the viewer. Make sure you check it out at NFL.com/DDFP. The man seated to my immediate left, ready to help us start figuring out what we saw in week five and to project ahead to week six and beyond there. And also Reggie Wayne coming up in just a little bit. Mm. But in the meantime, the man, like I say, seated to my immediate left, the longtime Jacksonville Jaguar, the 1 year Oakland Raider, and the UCLA legend. And now, my pal. Oh, also, he's one half of the L.A. Rams broadcast.
Head coach of the undefeated San Ramon T-Birds.
Still undefeated. It's fighting, Maurice Jones-Drew,
we're
everybody.
Fighting the good fight, Shaq, every day. That's all we can do. That's just your T-Bird update for the week. That's all. Go ahead.
All right, give it 110%. And I just want you to know that the guys on that team, they should know. No one outside their locker room believes in them.
At all.
Tell them.
No,
Let them know about it.
Oh, we do it every week.
All right. We have a lot to talk about as we take our magic carpet ride tour across pro football here. Let's start off with what we saw on Monday night. It led to you and one of the better shows that you'll see on NFL Network during the football season is the post-Monday night show, Total Access, hosted by Cole Wright. It's you, Maurice. And it's
James Jones, Reggie Wayne.
Good rotating cast of fellas there. You guys were talking about. It is funny, in pro football at least, and probably in all the other sports, but let's focus here. Drew Brees, he's now the all-time passing leader. He'll soon have the touchdown record as well. Does that mean he's the greatest quarterback of all time?
This is what I have to say. And a lot of people have kind of taken what I said last night out of context. I said, first of all, congratulations. Because that's a milestone. That's a tough milestone to beat. I
mean, no disrespect, in other words. When you say, no disrespect, first of all, congratulations is equal to saying, no disrespect,
or I'm
Drew.
I'm just saying. But the game of football, especially at the quarterback's position, is all about wins. And so winning is the ultimate thing for quarterbacks. You can throw, Matt Ryan has thrown for a ton of yards, all these different things, but they never won the big one. So is he up there? Is he considered one of the best? No. It's just not. And then granted, I know there's guys like Trent Dilfer who win or Joe Flacco who've won one, and that's understandably so, but they're not up there with the numbers, right? So they have to match. The numbers and the wins
those
have
guys,
to match.
Those guys are human exceptions that prove the overall rule.
Exactly.
Every once in a while, a guy's going to sneak through. Nick Foles is the reigning champion.
Case Keenum was in there. Right. Now we see what he looks like now. But what I was saying was that, you know, Big Ben Roethlisberger, this is, I think, what got people over the edge. I was like, you would put Big Ben higher than you would Drew Brees. And people went ballistic. Are you kidding me? I was like, well, listen, he's won consistently his whole career. He has one losing season his whole career. One losing season.
By the way.
And they perennially go to the playoffs all the time. And he has the numbers. And he's won two Super Bowls.
That's exactly right. Listen, there are a few things, and I forgive me in advance for saying some things that I've said many times before, and when I say forgive me, that's directed at Emma VP over there, but also to the listener at large. The same points I always make. First of all, until they start giving out more than one Lombardi every year, it does matter how many you win.
Exactly.
And it also, by the way, until they cancel the postseason and they just decide on New Year's Day, like, we feel like, let's take a vote of Football America. We think that team's the best. Until that's how they start deciding things and actually playing the postseason, then it does matter who wins at the sport's most important position.
And so then I say this. So then I say, okay, I get it. You know, I was like, Eli Manning, you have to put him in that conversation because he has the yardage.
Not for the all-time greatest.
But he's up there because he has the yardage and he has the wins, right? Super Bowl wins, at least. And so people, you know, they started coming at me. You don't know what you're talking about. What's going on? So I said, okay, who is your greatest quarterback of all time?
Aaron Rodgers.
See, I say Tom Brady.
I know, and I know that Rodgers only has one, and that does undermine exactly what I just said
But he has yards, and he has MVP trophies. He has a ton of accolades that Drew Brees doesn't have.
And he has, let's say,
wow factor.
Let's speculate. Yeah, but let's also speculate that he has practically, you know, 3 to 6 more good years left. He's about, although Aaron Rodgers is no spring chicken. He's going to be 36 this December, so it's not like he has that many more bites at the apple. But if he gets one, if he gets two, which is no...
But that's what makes Tom Brady the greatest of all time, because he keeps going and keeps winning them.
I know.
And so you can't tell me in a sport where if we put so much importance on that position, right, saying you have to have a franchise quarterback to win a Super Bowl, and he only has one. Brett Favre only has
my response. My pushback on that is, and Tom Brady is obviously has gargantuan importance, but of course,
they were putting him over John Elway.
Brady.
No, Breeze.
Oh, Breeze.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's guys that, and I'm not even, don't get me wrong, I'm not a big Joe Montana. They were like, no, he's way better than, I'm like,
You know what? Instead, then let's not watch the games anymore.
Yeah,
let's not see how the things work out. Let's just open up computers and look at numbers and be like Neo in the Matrix and just watch the numbers go. That is not indicative of who best is. Emmitt Smith the best running back?
Troy Aikman. They didn't even put Troy Aikman.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. My pushback to you about Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers is exactly that. Are we saying then that Troy Aikman and Terry Bradshaw are 2 and 3 on that list?
I think that their numbers have to match up. I don't know Terry Bradshaw's numbers. I think they're down.
They're not going to compare with 21st century numbers.
No, they're
he's
not.
Behind completion percentages and everything
so you
else.
You have to find a metric or algorithm that will be able to transfer those numbers.
You know what my metric is? I have two of them, Maurice.
Yeah.
These right here. The eyeballs. That's what does it.
But Terry Bradshaw had a great defense, supposedly.
I'm not having a Bradshaw conversation with you now. But for the record.
I never knew. I never met him, so I don't know. I'm just throwing salt in the game.
For the record, yes, they ran the ball a lot, but his clutch performances in Super Bowls was the difference. But it's a completely different sport.
Right.
His first 300-yard game of his career, roughly 9-10 years in, was in Super Bowl 13. His second one, Super Bowl 14. It's a completely different game.
Right,
it's
no
hard
question.
To compare.
And that's why I say it's hard to say, like, oh, so this was my other argument with Drew Brees. Like, after they won the Super Bowl, they went 6-10, 7-9, 7-9, 8-8. Like, he wasn't winning.
Colin Cowherd summoned something that I've been talking about Cam Newton, that he's perennially underrated. I don't understand why he is, although I have my hypotheses, and I believe you do too. But
he has an MVP.
He pointed out Cam Newton has not had consecutive back-to-back, has not had back-to-back winning seasons. And I will remind you, Drew Brees, since Cam Newton got to the league, also hasn't had back-to-back winning seasons. So let's hold them to the same standard there. I think what's an interesting way to kind of look at this is by the decade, and I wrote a piece about it a couple of years back. By the decade, our assumptions of what is great at quarterback and how they measure up with their peers. After Super Bowl 10, you would have to rightly say Terry or maybe Staubach
Roger Staubach was a guy that
and Bradshaw. About 20 Super Bowls in, you would still maybe hold up Bradshaw as the best, and it starts to evolve beyond that. I think Aaron Rodgers at roundabout Super Bowl 50, maybe Tom Brady, maybe Joe Montana. That's the conversation there. By Super Bowl 60, who's the greatest, or let's say 10 years from now, who's the greatest quarterback in NFL history? Is it still Tom Brady? Because
no,
the further away we get from those Super Bowls, the more luster they'll have less. It'll be that guy won 5, so maybe 6
remember,
by the
he
time
won
it's done.
All the Super Bowls the Patriots have too. So like that to me is everything. Right, you won 5. That organization's won 5. They're trying to get 6. Right, he has all of them.
It's impressive.
That's impressive.
But you know, just as here's
and when, in a situation where Brett Favre was known as the greatest quarterback of all time, had just won.
Yes, but also let me just throw this at
and
you.
And then he hold on, and then Brett Favre won that Super Bowl because they went out in free agency and got Reggie White and a bunch of other cats to go play and help him.
Okay, that's a fine point. And the same thing about Russell Wilson won that Super Bowl because the defense was so
no
good.
Question.
And the Steelers' defense was really good. And
Big Ben won 2 of them, though.
Let me just say this, though. The thing with Brady is it's not, well, he had a great defense, although those first 3, they did have
a really good
high-end defense for those. Beyond that, instead of saying like, "Well, was it Bradshaw, or the defense, or whoever QB and great defense you want to throw out there?" With Brady, it's is it Brady or is it Belichick? People are going to debate that forever.
Yeah,
too.
I mean, I think you're going to do that.
We'll never have a clean answer.
You're going to do that with and I think Reggie Wayne or James Jones brought up last night, he was like Sean Payton. Let's remember, Sean Payton has been dialing up stuff for a long time.
I know. And now that the window feels a little more open than it did 3 weeks ago for the Saints and how long they can keep this going with even with old man Breeze there, right. It probably puts a dent into Sean Payton to Dallas. And I've been singing that one a little bit. Yeah. Let's move on there. What do you – oh, but you know what? Before we do – but well, actually, we're kind of in Dallas domain here anyway. When you talk about the best quarter – oh, you didn't give me your answer. So who's the best – I'm sorry, before we bounce around. Go ahead. Win, play, show. Super Bowl 60. Who do we talk about as the best quarterbacks of all time?
That's a tough one. I mean, eventually I think Cam Newton ends up being the greatest quarterback of all time.
Cam Newton, the greatest of all time.
And you talk about 10 years from now, I think that they're going to win a couple Super Bowls. I think he's just a completely different person than we've ever seen at the position, kind of similar to what Mike Vick was when he first came in.
You know, people are gonna are on the internets are no going question. To take issue with this.
Yeah,
statement.
But who else are you gonna talk about?
Aaron Rodgers. I think
Aaron Rodgers. I think Aaron Rodgers doesn't have the supporting cast that he needs to get him to that point. I think Jared Goff may be a guy that we'll be talking about pretty soon here.
But
a lot of people are gonna take it away because of McVay. Right. And what they did overall, but he's been making plays. But when you look at Cam Newton, right, they have a running game, can't name half the wide receivers on his team, and they have a defense, and they find a way to win games. And because of his ability to run and be a playmaker, that's why they win. When the defense is down, he's able to score 30-plus points. When the defense is hot, he's able to score 20 and win the game.
So Cam won for you. Let's say 10 years from the moment that we sit on this magic carpet ride.
Yeah.
If we were to take this magic carpet ride, which I think we rightly should be able to.
No question.
Into 2028, you say win. Cam Newton, the greatest of all time. Place, Tom Brady. Show?
No. I mean, Tom is already the greatest of this decade, the one
okay.
right now.
I'm just saying, we'll have a Super Bowl.
I don't know.
I care what Sammy Baugh did.
This is the Super Bowl era. Then it's Tom Brady. I'm thinking that you're talking about the next 10 years.
Game.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking about when Tom is gone after, you know, a couple years.
No. How will we regard it? Like I say, right.
Tom is going to be the best because he has the most. Yes. And then I think you go to
Rodgers gets one more. He has to
get one more. If he doesn't, he'll go down like Brett Favre. It's all these yards and stuff and whatever it may
and
be.
Joe Cool, and I don't mean Flacco.
Who?
Joe
Montana?
It is weird we've kind of moved on, and I think what injures Montana's case Jerry Rice, but also George Seifert and Steve Young with
the same pieces
are able to get over the hump. I think that puts a little dent into Montana's legend, just as whoever replaces Tom Brady in New England, if Belichick is still there and he wins immediately, that's why I say if you're a Brady lover, you don't want the Patriots to be good for a year or two after Brady retires.
After that, it's tough, man. Like, you're looking for the next – I think you have to maybe if Big Ben's able to get one more, then I think he gets in that.
That's right. If Roethlisberger has three, which doesn't seem very likely at this point.
Yeah, but I mean, if he's able to find a way to get the third one, he separates himself from everyone
else.
Right. Again, I talked to when I made this analysis on the show, I was saying that the only position in football that goes with wins and losses, there's only two of them, the head coach and the quarterback. As a running back, wins and losses aren't on my record at all.
Right.
As a receiver,
whether you think that's fair or not,
that's the way it is. That's why they get paid all the money, because they touch the ball every play. So in that situation, the wins and losses count for you, along with your yards, along with your accolades. Like, you have to show, and I think James Jones said it best, like, name a wild play from Drew Brees.
That is interesting. And you definitely put the asterisk next to him with the what games has he won in, out in frigid temps and everything else. He has benefited from climate control.
It's a lot that goes on. And so I'm not being a hater. I don't want people to think I'm a hater.
Here's the best thing congratulations I'll say about Drew Brees. Michael Thomas is his best pass catcher ever.
Right now, yes.
You want to start playing the game to throw the ball to? Drew Brees has never had a really good receiver until he got Michael Thomas. Yes, Jimmy Graham was effective for a while there, but for a pure wide receiver, I mean, like
Reggie Bush.
All right, but that's not really a wide receiver. All right, we'll wrap it up there, Maurice. But by the way, I think the bottom line is with Drew Brees is
he's top six.
Just because you have the record, certainly in football, Emmitt Smith is not the greatest running back just because he has more yards.
I'll even say this. Is Jerry Rice the greatest wide receiver we've seen?
Don't open up that can of worms.
I just try to tell people, like, I'm just saying, I love Jerry Rice, but he ain't no Randy Moss, no disrespect. Randy Moss was unbelievable in our time. And in the to have, like, no one ever says you got riced, right? what does that mean? No disrespect. Well, I love you, Jerry.
You know, there's flair. Right. Well, listen, I happen to know because we had that conversation. Reggie Wayne will take Jerry Rice, the technician, and James Jones likes the electricity of Randy Moss. Randy Moss, though, is... He's interesting. He's like, I can never remember the name, even though I keep using this as my analogy, my comic book analogy. That one guy who in the X-Men, the bad guy who can run through the walls and everything.
Flash.
Not.
Oh, you're talking about the night crawler.
No, he doesn't appear. I say he's a bad guy. Who?
Jonah?
Juggernaut. This Juggernaut. He's a big, you know, he's a big dude. He's like Pete Johnson for the, you know, for the
I don't
NFL.
Know who that is.
He was a big, like, 280-pound running back who they would bring in right at the goal line, the Bungles would, in the late 70s, early 80s.
And yeah, he'd I always around
That's all I ever did was just score touchdowns. It was a bowling ball. Anyway, Juggernaut, he can run through. Well, you know, he's limited in his powers, but that's all he needs. He can just run through walls really fast. What else does he need to do? Same thing with Randy Moss. Randy Moss, like, he wasn't a great technician out there, but, you know, so what? Hey, Randy, run really fast and see if anybody can stop you. Right.
And he was able to out-jump people. He was just a better athlete.
I don't know what that makes Jerry Rice, the technician. I guess like Batman or Iron Man, because they were like, you know,
they're like
just in full control of what was available to them.
There's like no superpowers. They just had a lot of money.
Right.
And they were used their resources well.
All right. Let's wrap it up, but except with one thing. Are you still confident in Blake Bortles?
Yeah, I have to be. I think
you don't have to be.
Yeah, no, you have to, because in this situation, we know that his pitch count ain't 52 passes. That's what we do know. So the Jags have to get back to running the ball and making it happen.
Do you still feel the Jags are the best team in the AFC?
No, not at all.
It's the Chiefs.
Oh, yeah, you have to go in the Arrowhead. It ain't looking nice right now for us.
Really?
But we'll see.
I'll
say this, because the Chiefs still have their toughest. Jacksonville was the start of their tough road coming down. They still have to play the Rams, the Patriots. They have to play Pittsburgh as well. They already played Pittsburgh. I'm sorry. They have to play. It was another team they have to play. It's slipping me right now, but they have a tough road ahead. I think they'll, you know, figure it out. And then they got to play the Chargers again.
Well, that's what I was just going to tell you. Don't be sleeping on those Chargers, Maurice. I'm telling you, the dream of a battle for LA staged in Fulton County, Atlanta, in that fancy new dome.
They got to play
it's
the
still
Rams.
A possibility. But then again, Tom Brady. What are we talking about? Obviously, we saw what happened. Everybody,
we know he's the GOAT.
They're going to be back in the Super Bowl. What are we even wasting our time talking about? All right, now, Maurice, I don't want to waste any more of your time. So jump off the magic carpet ride. Let's go kibitz with Reggie Wayne. But first, a reminder. The fellas were terrible at taking care of our health, whether it's a knee injury, a bad back, which is something I have, and just stupidly have not gone to a doctor to get fixed up until very recently. Guys, we're all more comfortable just rubbing some dirt on the injury than seeing a doctor. The same is true for erectile dysfunction. Don't go rubbing dirt on that. That's not a good idea. That's not going to help anything. And in fact, I could make a pretty powerful case that it might hurt things. Studies show severity that 70% of guys who experience ED don't get treated for. Thankfully, Roman has created an easy way to get checked out by a doctor and get treated for ED online. It's the one-stop shop where licensed U.S. physicians can diagnose ED and ship medication right to your door. With Roman, there are no waiting rooms, awkward face-to-face conversations, or uncomfortable trips to the pharmacy. And again, no dirt anywhere to be found. You can handle everything online. All you have to do is visit GetRoman.com/Damashek, DAMESHEK, and fill out a brief medical onboarding chat with a doctor and get FDA-approved ED meds delivered to your door. For a free online visit, go to, once again, GetRoman.com/Damashek. That's GetRoman.com/Damashek for a free online visit. GetRoman.com/Damashek, DAMESHEK. Before Reggie shows up, let me also tell you about G Suite, a suite of cloud-based productivity tools that includes Gmail, Docs, Slide, Sheets, and Drive. These are the tools that improve your work life, both in terms of your experience and the outputs you create. Hence the campaign, make it with G Suite. You know, this happens to me all the time. I
continually am revising documents of mine, scripts and otherwise, and I cannot keep one straight from the other. I revise something on page 3, but is that the document that I also changed something on 17? I can't keep it all straight. If you have ever had a job that requires you to type things under computers and you're remotely disorganized as I am, you are going to love G Suite by Google Cloud, a range of work apps. Like I say, Gmail, Docs, and Slides that let you make real-time updates to the same document without having to keep track of version after version of a project. And since all the tools are cloud-based, your whole team can access the same document and work on the same page at the same time. And pull the curtain back even further, this is perfect for me because once I get a script to a certain point, then I turn it over to the more talented MOVP, and we don't have to even skip a beat. Thanks to G Suite. To find out more about it, visit gsuite.com. That's spelled suite, S-U-I-T-E, like fancy as opposed to sugar. You know, there's a big distinction there. That's gsuite.com. Make it with G Suite by Google Cloud.
Dave, dee-da-da-da-da-da-don't-don't, Dave.
All right, as promised, here he is for the Week 5 exit interview, number 87, Reggie Wayne. What's happening, fella?
You hear that crowd noise? They're cheering.
They are. I know, yeah.
That's for me.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, that's for me.
You know, MOVP just does that. Like, she just pushes a button. I don't want to undermine your self-confidence. No, that's real. No, we actually, I'm just trying to undermine.
Well, I'm just helping out. Add more participation.
That's I like it. I like it, Reggie Wayne. Hey, let's start here. And we just talked to Maurice and a great conversation with you guys about who the best quarterback is. And it is interesting to try to measure numbers and whether or not numbers equal greatness. And all that. But before any of that, I noticed on NFL.com that when he got the record, they tweeted out an image of Drew Brees and Brett Favre and Peyton Manning. And Peyton was in his orange Broncos jersey. What's that about?
Listen, this has been a topic of mine for the last 2 weeks, probably 3 weeks. Every time you see Peyton Manning, as of now, it's always in a Denver Broncos uniform. So, you know, one day I'm going to call him and I'm going to ask him, man, like,
I'd like you to do that.
What set you claiming, man? You know, what set are you claiming? I want to know because you very rarely see him in an Indianapolis coach uniform.
First of all, to throw a little fuel on this conspiracy theory fire here.
What you got?
The Denver Broncos retweeted it. Now, of course, he has a Broncos jersey on, yeah, so why would the Colts retweet it?
Right.
But is this – so you don't know if this is a Peyton thing? Is this a Colts thing? I mean, he's got to self-identify as a Colt, not a Bronco, right?
Listen, it can't be a Colts thing. I mean, shoot, they got a statue of him outside their stadium.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, so – you got to take them out of the equation. And it could be a Peyton thing. Maybe he just wants Denver Broncos. Maybe. I don't know. That's a question I might have to ask him, man. Because I want to answer. And, you know, once he tell me the answer, I can let this go and just leave it alone. But it's always, as you saw last night, it was the Denver Broncos. I'm like,
yeah, right.
He was only there for, what, 3 years? You know, like.
It wasn't three. I think it was a little bit more than that. But either way, I mean, the gargantuan stretch.
But he still had 60,000 yards.
Maybe he doesn't like that. You know, he's said nice things. He's an ambassador. He understands politics. And by the way, great little video that he sent out to Drew Brees. I thought that was very funny.
Hilarious.
And all of that. But maybe he didn't like that Irsay demanded that the dome have its roof open, knowing Peyton didn't like it. That was the story at the time. Peyton doesn't like it outside. Let's open up the roof and make him play outdoors. Well, Luck and company.
That statue's outside. So listen, if that bothered Peyton, then he shouldn't have accepted the statue. I think it's an NFL thing, man. They're just going after the last team he played for. He won a ring with them, and he just keeps putting them in the Denver Broncos. I mean, I've gotten into it, not necessarily got into it with people on Twitter, but they always say their main thing is the coach treated them like trash. Mm-hmm. You know, they gave up on him. You know, I don't think they gave up on him. They just didn't have an idea if he was going to be
a guy
healthy.
In his mid-30s with a bad neck and nothing but question marks going forward. You had a shot to get the guy who was the most, at that point, Andrew Luck was considered to be the safest quarterback bet in 20 years, literally at the time. So that's overstated if people bellyache about that.
And did he, I guess another question is, I don't know the answer to it, did he actually have to leave? Maybe he didn't want Andrew Luck sitting behind him and he just decided to go. I don't know. You know, I don't know. I never asked him these questions, but these are questions I'm going to ask from now on.
All right. You're from the Bayou. You're proud of it. And I'm proud of being from Pittsburgh. And I always say that's the quarterback cradle. Like, you know, that's Marino, Jim Kelly, Joe Namath, Joe Montana, so on and so forth. What, but and did I get everybody there? I hate to leave anybody off my
list. I'm sure there's somebody
Marino,
else.
Did I say? I got Marino. Yeah, you said Kelly, Marino. Joe Namath. Oh, Johnny Unitas. Anyhow,
so Unitas.
See, Colts, it all comes together. You see, Reggie, it all comes together. Now, you're from the Bayou. Now, the Bayou has a pretty nice tradition of QBs as well.
A few.
Peyton and Eli and Archie and then Drew Brees, you know, professionally at least, the Bayou. Right. Who's better? You have to choose one. Drew Brees, Peyton Manning. How about this? They have the exact same teams. We're going to give you the exact same offenses, and you're going to play the exact same defenses. The winner of this game wins the planet. Which QB do you want?
Oh, man. Well, it's tough. I mean, I'm trying to keep my biased opinion to the side.
What's the bias? Which side is the bias? The Colts?
It's going to be the Colts. It's going to be Peyton.
You got to take Peyton. I think that's a fair comp, though. If you're talking top 10 guys in Super Bowl era, I think Peyton and Brees are kind of neck and neck for a number of reasons.
They are. You know, but it's just when it comes to Peyton, I think he changed the game to a certain degree. And when I say change the game, I don't know if there's anybody that had the check with me. I think when you think about that, at the line of scrimmage and all the gyrations he did and all the play, you know, changings that he did, I think that's Peyton. I think if that was a category in the dictionary, it'd be number 18 there. So I just think, you know, he changed the game to a certain degree. It's almost like when we talk about Randy Moss. Some people got Randy Moss ahead of Jerry Rice.
Yes,
you know,
I own James Jones. Very conversation,
exactly.
Right.
So, I mean, that to me, that's the difference. Now, does that mean that Drew Brees isn't good? No, I think he's excellent. I think he's definitely in my tops, definitely in my top five for sure.
Top five.
Well, that's
easy to say in a vacuum, but one thing I will say in Drew Brees' favor, and I don't say this just because Reggie Wayne's sitting 2 feet away from me, Peyton Manning had Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison and Dallas Clark, and they had Demaryius Thomas. Emmanuel Sanders
and he also had Edgerrin James and Joseph Addai has two more first rounders. So
Drew Brees has not had that.
He has not, and that's what makes him special.
Right,
and he hasn't had the most stellar defense ever. You know what I mean? Like his defenses, to a certain degree, reminds me of the type of defenses we had in Indianapolis. I mean, they was just kind of subpar in the middle. Although the year we won in 2006, we won because of our defense, but throughout that year, we stunk it up. I mean, just a couple of games before that against our colleague Maurice Jones-Drew and Fred Taylor, the Jacksonville Jaguars rushed for 375 yards. The only thing that stopped them from running was the back wall behind the end zone. You know what I mean? So, so with that being said, like, Drew Brees didn't have the best of defenses. So he was put in a situation where he had to go out there and outscore people, and he did it week in and week out. And – I mean, you're talking about, to me, Drew Brees is one of the most accurate quarterbacks that I've ever seen. Rather it's deep ball, short, like you don't – and, you know, people say, well, what has he done that's made you be like, wow? You're like, bro, he's just that good to where he doesn't have to do it. He's putting the ball right in your chest. All thing you got to do is receive it. You know what I mean? So he's special, man. He really is. Not because he's my classmate. We came out in 2001. Shout out to Drew Brees with that. You know, but, man, you just week in and week out. Whenever you think of Drew Brees, just how many bad games have Drew Brees had?
Well, if you want to go down that path, I can point to many bad games on the road. That's the number one knock on Brees is that he's done it in the dome and has put up an outsized percentage of his numbers at home under that dome. When you take him outside, he becomes mortal.
I mean, that's the same thing you can say about Peyton Manning, too.
That's right. Well, that's why I would put them on par. Not just because they both have just the one Lombardi, but because that is an asterisk I would put next to both of those guys. Anywho, let's real quick, because we did it this summer, and you said Peyton won. Give them to me now. You said top five, so tell me your top five. Super Bowl era.
Oh, oh man. In order? You wanna, yeah. Oh, man.
Well, I'd be interested to hear who you're leaving out to get Drew Brees into your top five. So you got to have Brady, right?
So Brady will be
next.
You
put Peyton in there.
I'm going to put Peyton in there.
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers is not in there with me.
Oh, Drew Brees out of Aaron Rodgers.
That's the guy that's out. I got to have Joe Montana in there.
Okay.
Right? And I've been kind of on the fence. A little on the fence. People got me. It got me open my eyes a little bit to John Elway, just a little bit.
Oh, I didn't know where. I thought you might say Roethlisberger.
Just a bit. No, no.
I mean, no,
no.
Act like it's a ridiculous thing to say. Marie says that.
No, I mean, listen. No, they haven't made it yet, man.
All right, I'm just throwing out names at you. That's all I'm doing. I'm trying to help you out. So you don't forget anybody.
You know, Roethlisberger. I mean, you know. Top 25, maybe.
Oh, God.
I don't know.
Let me tell you this about Roethlisberger. When it's all said and done, he retires. He is a top 10 Super Bowl era QB. And
top 10?
Top 10. And if you put if you scratch him out on paper, you'll see that I'm right about that.
You may have something with that. I don't necessarily disagree with that right now. You know, it's just to me like I need to see more from them dudes.
This is what I always say about it. And you are not this guy as much. You appreciate the technician.
I do.
You like Drew Brees for his pinpoint accuracy, yes. Same way you like Peyton and all that kind of stuff. You like the head the savvy technician. I like a gunslinger. Gunslingers are fun. Give me Elway and Roethlisberger and Favre, and you can have your Peytons and Drew Breeses and Tom Brady's. And at minimum, I'll have more fun. At least
Would you consider Aaron Rodgers a gunslinger?
He's his own thing. That's why he's the best of all time. He's his own thing. He's both of those things.
The best of all time?
He's the best I've ever seen, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know how anybody with two eyes can look at Aaron Rodgers and watch him play and say, like, well, that's unlike anything else. That arm, the ability to run away from stuff, the ability to sling it on the move, the guy, ability to do it in the pocket. What doesn't he have? Well, he doesn't have multiple Lombardi trophies. That's what he doesn't
Bing.
Have.
He doesn't have that. I just need some more years on him.
He's going to be 36 by the end of the season.
Yeah, I need to see some more years on him and just to see if he can get up there. But is he special? Absolutely. But there's no way you can have two guys from Green Bay in the top five.
I don't have Brett Favre in my top five.
But you want to measure. He's one of your gunslingers.
I like gunslingers. So I'm just telling you what I appreciate.
Okay.
As a football aesthete, you know, I like to watch what's more fun. I like the gunslingers.
Okay. I mean, so you, all right.
That's it. Yeah. Listen, people care more what you think anyway. So
No. I valid your opinion. I really do. And I'll go home and I'll digest this. I'll sit back and I'll chew on this a little bit.
Sitting around the dinner table. You know, Dave Damashek once said, a couple quick ones for you here, Reggie. NFC East, all of a sudden, you know, I've been saying since July that the Giants are done. But if you look at the way things lay out, you know, no Jay Ajayi for the champions right now. They're scuffling a bit. The Skins, I think, are fraudulent, and we saw that.
They was on the Saints payroll last night.
Yeah, we saw that. Yeah. I mean, you saw it. That's not a true contender there. And by the way, your other team, the Colts, went in
easy,
there.
Easy.
Well, I mean, they shamed them.
I wasn't big on Redskins in the
I
first
wasn't
place.
Either, but this I buzz mean, that happened yeah, for was, 3 weeks in. Yeah, like, did you see it. The Colts game? Yeah, they went into the D.C. and just – and it wasn't even a ball game. It was embarrassing what happened.
Absolutely.
So that's that. And then you have America's alleged team, the Cowboys, and they're not looking so. Who's going to win that division?
I still say the Eagles.
Do you?
I really do.
Do you think they need to get Le'Veon Bell? And will they get Le'Veon Bell?
I don't think they will. I think they'll get – you know, I've been hearing a little buzz about, I'm not sure how true this is, a little buzz about Shady McCoy coming
that
back.
That makes a lot of sense, right?
I see him there before I see Le'Veon Bell there. I really do.
Last thing, we talk a lot about you were the antithesis of the 21st century phenomenon of the diva wide receiver. You were not as, wildly outspoken and selfish and all
just
that.
Just did my job.
Well, I like what you said a couple of weeks ago when we kibitzed about Antonio Brown and his all-time greatness, and that he needs to understand that Juju Smith-Schuster is potentially a boon for him. You know, that it's going to drag some coverage away from AB and ultimately open things up for him. I thought that was a great unselfish sort of insight that you don't necessarily hear a lot around around the league. What do you think about OBJ and Eli and Lil Wayne and this whole mess? Even though everybody in the building now says it's over with and done.
Yeah, you know, I mean, shout out to Lil Wayne. You know, even OBJ, you know, we all from the boot. We all from Louisiana. Yep. But at the same time, you know, Lil Wayne probably should have waited in the back room. I don't know.
Lil Wayne talking trash.
I don't know why Wayne was there. Honestly, I think the Giants are somewhat regretting paying OBJ all this money.
Do you really?
I do. Even though they know what they was getting. But they were hoping that let's go ahead and pay him, and now we can just kind of just play football. Nah, you built a monster, man. You built a monster, and you paid him a lot of money.
But at the same time, and I hear you on all the pitfalls of devoting that percentage of money to a wide receiver and for somebody who's belly aching and maybe being a distraction. But you look at the Khalil Mack absence in Oakland, and that's been that story up there. Yeah. If you let what is, the top three talent at wide receiver, if you let him walk out of the building there, they would never hear the end of that, right? I mean, you can't let Odell Beckham leave your team.
You can't let him leave because he's a special talent. But with that being said, how many playoff games they won with Odell Beckham?
Hey, I'm with you. I get it, but I also get it. This isn't a perfect analogy, but sort of like Joe Flacco wins the Super Bowl. Well, he has you kind of jammed up. Whether you want him or not, you can't. Right. Under those circumstances, you couldn't, if you were the Ravens, let Flacco leave. Under any circumstances, I don't understand. I don't know what case you could make that the Giants would have been better off. That just from a PR standpoint.
I mean, if you look at it, just look at last season. I mean, obviously Odell Beckham was hurt. Look at the season before that. Just even with him there, has there ever really been a push? Were they ever a favorite to like go to the Super Bowl? Like, so I don't think the beast thing would be as hard as it was like for Khalil Mack. Because you look at the Raiders last year, like we was like, man, they may be okay. You know, like they ought to be hitting the ground running this year. You know what I'm saying? So I just think, you lose OBJ, yeah, they'd be talking about how you let him go, but then I think it'll smooth over a lot easier.
I'll tell you this. If nothing else, if the Giants don't turn this thing around, what's interesting is, I mean, this will debunk the fantasy football mentality that a lot of people have. And actually, it's 2 years running because last year everybody thought the Giants offense was going to be unstoppable with Brandon Marshall there and Sterling Shepard and along with Odell. That got scuttled by injury. But it is interesting. Well, how could they not be good? They have Saquon Barkley, who's going to be a generational talent. They have Odell Beckham. Eli's won those Super Bowls. It's not as simple as that, obviously.
But they don't have an offensive line.
That's the weird thing.
They don't have an offensive line. Yeah, they don't have an offensive line. It's not coming, you know, together like they want it. And then you got to look at it, too. You know, Eli's no spring chicken. You know, especially, you got a quarterback that's not a spring chicken, and you got an O-line that's terrible. That's not a good mix. That's like Kool-Aid with no sugar. Like, that's bland. No good. You drink Kool-Aid?
I like Kool-Aid very much. With you, I haven't had it in a while, but I like Kool-Aid. Okay, I used to love it.
Okay, yeah. But did you drink it with no sugar?
No. Wouldn't do that.
It was awful, right?
Yeah.
So that's what that is.
Right. I never thought, that is terrible. Yeah,
you better put some sugar in there. More sugar. You rather too much sugar than no sugar.
What's the best, last question, what's the best Kool-Aid flavor?
Come on, man. Red.
Red? That's not even a flavor. You get the strawberry.
y'all know what I'm talking about at home. Red.
Wow.
Red.
You could be talking fruit punch.
Hey, long as it's red, baby, we're good.
You know what? I'm going to go with a little bit of an underrated one because people think, like, why would I drink that when there's orange juice? But the best Kool-Aid flavor is orange.
Grape?
I didn't say anything close to grape.
Red or grape, man. We ain't worried about, you know, the name of his berry and
no, that's fine. And all that's stuff. Fine. I'll give you that latitude, Reggie Wayne. But I will also say now you require me, much to MVP chagrin, that I have to revisit this. But grape flavor is the furthest away from what the actual fruit tastes like of any fruit there is. Who decided that that's the flavor of grape? And every candy maker and Hi-C and everything else, everybody signed off on that's the flavor, even though it doesn't taste anything like an actual grape. Not interesting.
But that, it looks good, though.
It does look nice. I'm not gonna debate you on that one.
Well, I mean, hey, it's great. That's why we just call it great.
87, we figured it out again. We did it. I don't know how we keep on doing it, but, you know, yeah, kudos to us. 87, we appreciate the time as always.
Appreciate you, brother.
Hey, when you decide to call old 18 there, that's another question for you. Yeah, here's the other thing. Where did the sheriff come from? Ask old 18 where sheriff came from. Did he come up with that in his last season? All of a sudden, sheriff. Nobody ever called him that in the Colts locker room, right?
Zero. Zero. I mean, there was one point of time where we were in the locker room saying, like, where's this general come from? Like, people was calling him a general at one point of time. So I'm like, you know, is he either Peyton or 18? The first person I heard say sheriff was John Gruden. That was the first person I heard say that. Hmm. And I think it just caught on because it was a Monday night game and they called him sheriff. And
it's weird, you know, to get a nickname in the twilight of your career. That's better than what I thought. I thought he gave it to himself.
No, I will say this much about him. He's not going to go around and just give himself a name. You know, he's not going to call me sheriff, or this guy called me. He called me sheriff and I kind of like it. You know. He's not going to give himself a nickname. It's going to have to be somebody else.
You know what?
I will say that much about him.
That's a start. That is some evidence there, and next we look to find out what.
But I'll ask him that, too. I got a mental block.
All right, get in touch with 18, and we'll speak with you after that, 87. In the meantime, thanks to the great Reggie Wayne. Always great fun. And like I said, when Maurice was with us, don't miss the Monday night, post-Monday night football Total Access. It's one of the most enjoyable hours or thereabouts that you'll see on NFL Network.
I probably shouldn't do the Mile High Salute because that's like Peyton and Denver.
That's right. See? Now look what happened to you. You didn't even mean to do it. Now you're on Peyton's side for that jazz, too. All right. For Reggie Wayne, for Maurice Jones-Drew, we'll talk to you later in the week with our picks to get you ready for week 6. Until then, it's been a thin slice of heaven.